heart that the Lord had for souls, what a difference it would make. Lord, help us to be burdened over the needs of people. The greatest need anybody has is Christ, you know? And may God help us. I'd like you to take the Word of God. Turn with me. Ephesians chapter 1, as we stand to our feet. The last two verses, and then we'll be looking into chapter 2 in just a few moments. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 22 and 23. Paul's writing, of course, to the church at Ephesus. And it's great things to say in this wonderful book about the things of God and the power of God and His redemption and His grace and His mercy. It talks here about the church. The Bible says, "And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." And I want to preach on the church, which is His body, this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your love, and we thank You, Lord, for this time You've given to us to open Thy Word, and as we look into it for these next few moments, I pray that it'll impact our lives and make such a difference how we live and the things we do, the things we say. Lord, I pray that we would have a heart for souls. But Lord, we know it begins by having a personal relationship with You, and I pray that if there be one here today that does not have that personal relationship, that's never trusted Christ, Him alone, that today they would realize their need of Thee as a Savior, and by faith they would come and put their faith in You. Lord, I pray for those of us that are saved, I pray we'd be encouraged and helped through Your Word. Lord, we need You today, and I know I need You. And I pray that the power of the Spirit of God would rest upon me. Lord, that I preach with anointing and unction, and we'll thank You for what's accomplished. We give the results to Thee, for it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We find in the Bible here the church, which is the body, the Bible says. And there's an idea in the world today that the church is dying. And a lot of places that call themselves a church may go down. A lot of religious organizations and modern day social clubs that'll put the name church on their door, they may seem to be headed in the wrong direction, but the church that's purchased with the blood of Christ will never fail. I want you to know that the church will stand until Jesus calls us out of this world and takes us home to be with Him. There's a lot of things going on today in the name of religion that's so far from being a part of the truth and what the church is supposed to be that there's a lot of confusion in the world. But the truth is that there is the church that Jesus is building. Remember what He said, "Upon this rock I will build My church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So as long as we're in this world, the church will march forward. And as long as Christ is on His throne, the church will march forward until Christ comes to receive us and to bring us to Himself. So we're thankful for that. But when we think about the church, we realize that it's something precious to the Lord. The Bible teaches us that Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it. Here in the book of Ephesians, Paul is writing and he presents the church in a number of different forms, but here he talks about it being the body of Christ. And when we think about this, there's some things that we're reminded of here in these two verses about the church. First of all, we see the head of the church. The Bible says, "And they put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church." So I want you to understand today that no man's qualified to be the head of the church except for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head. Amen? And when we think about that, we have to realize that no man assumes the authority, or you know, there's no pope, there's no dictator. God calls pastors to lead a church, but Christ is always the head, and it's He that we answer to. It's He that we need to realize this, we need to understand that He's the biblical authority that we see, and we're to obey what His Word says. You want to know how you can do right in the church? Follow the head. And by the way, when you follow the head, you're following the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. Then we see in this the home of the church, which the Bible says, which is His body. And then we've talked about this so many times. We have a local assembly, and we gather together here in this place. But the church is not the building. The church is the body. The church is the people. You and I are the church. If some tragedy were to happen and this church were to be destroyed by some great tragedy, I want you to know the church would still exist. Because the church is not in a building, the church is the people. And so we understand that. And then we see the heart of the church in this verse, where the Bible says, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And this is the real blessing and the truth about the church. When a person's been born again into the family of God, he's found in Christ the fullness that completely satisfies. That's what the church is all about. The church is about Christ and His relationship to us. And when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we become a part of His church, but then he instructs us to become a part of local churches, because it's the local church is what He uses to carry out His plan and His purpose for this world. So when we look at this, I want us to see some things. I want us to realize, first of all, the church is not dying. The church is not dying because Christ is still alive and well. And I don't believe the church is even sick. The true church is not sick. I believe a lot of things that call themselves churches are sick and they're wrong, but we're actually a living body in a dying world, you know? We're going forward. And there's nothing that anybody can do that can take away our relationship to the Lord. The answer to the questions that we need to ask are who's saved and who knows the Lord and who are the members of the body are given to us here in chapter number 2. And I want us to understand this, that these are things, if you want to say that I'm part of the church, then these things have to be a part of your life. And these questions can be answered here in these first few verses in chapter number 2. First of all, I want you to see there has to be a past experience. Past experience. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You hath He quickened. He's made us alive. That's what that word quickened is. Means that we have been made to be alive. But we were dead in trespasses and sin. So when we look at this, I want you to see that the church is made up of men and women and boys and girls that at one time were lost. They were without hope. They were dead, the Bible says. Think about it. Before I knew the Lord Jesus Christ, I was walking, I was breathing, I was talking, I was doing all kinds of things. But the Bible says I was dead in trespasses and sin. And you were dead in trespasses and sin. But there was a day when the Lord Jesus Christ showed you His love and you realized you were a sinner and realized that He died for your sins, and by faith you trusted Him and you were quickened, you were made alive. So when we begin to think about this, we realize that if you're a part of the church, there has to be a past experience. There has to be some time in your life where you have experienced the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every man, woman, boy, and girl is born into sin, and there comes a time when they realize that their sin, and we call that the age of accountability, and they're lost, without hope, they're dead, and the Holy Spirit of God moves in their life and shows them their need of Christ, convinces them, convicts them that they need the Lord Jesus. And they've come to Christ and they believed what the Bible says and they were made alive. That's what we're talking about today. Made alive not by being baptized, not by joining a church, but made alive by the living Son of God, putting faith in the thing in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. I want you to know that's more than shaking a preacher's hand or signing a card or going under the water. It's a personal relationship. There's a lot of people that think they're going to go to heaven some other way, but there's only one way to heaven, and that's Christ and Christ alone. To be a part of this body, this living body in a dying world, the church, which is His body, there is to be a past experience. By the way, I've come to realize that a person may not remember the day, they may not remember the month, they may not even remember the exact year when they were saved, when they experienced that change. They may not know all these things, but they know there was a time in their life. It's not so important. I can tell you, I was saved August 26, 1985, and I'm happy that I can say that. But I've talked to many people, great Christians, great preachers, great servants of the Lord that could say, I can't tell you the exact day or the time, but I can tell you where I was at, and I can tell you what happened to me. That's all that matters, isn't it? There has to be that past experience. Now, I believe it's a life-changing thing that takes place. When you trust Christ, there's something that happens. There's a difference. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. We're a new creature in Christ, is what the Bible says. I get really concerned about people that come forward on a Sunday morning and say they trust Christ as Savior, and then you don't see them again Sunday night, or you don't see them again forever. It just worries me, you know? I remember when I got saved, I had a desire to do what God wanted me to do. I had a desire to be around the things of God and around the people of God. We're living in a different day and a different time, and we're battling the world. But dear friends, I believe that when we trust Christ, that there's such a change in our life that we want to be different. You know? We've had so many people come through here that's made professions of faith, and I'm not going to doubt any one of them. But I get so concerned about people that just, there's no change, you know? And it's based upon faith. I understand it's not feelings. It's not works. But when you're made alive and we were dead, shouldn't there be some evidences in our life? Shouldn't there be something that proves that we're no longer dead in trespasses and sin? I've heard people say things like, well, I've been a Christian all my life. That's impossible. You can't have been a Christian all your life, because the Bible tells us that we are born into sin, and that we all have gone astray, and that we've all come short of the glory of God. So we couldn't have been a Christian all of our life. There has to come a time when, in everyone's life, when they realize they're sinners, they're dead in trespasses and sin, and they come to Christ for salvation. The only way anybody's going to be saved is they have to come to Christ and put their faith in Him. You remember, we read in our Sunday school lesson this morning, the Lord Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and the Bible said, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There has to be an experience in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone. We're a part of His body, and if the only way you're a part of His body, the church, the only way you're a part of that, is because of this past experience. But when I say past, it doesn't have to be in the distant past. It could have been last week. Could have been last night. But there has to be that experience in your life where you've trusted Christ. If you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you're going to die and go to hell. There's no other choice. There is no purgatory. There is no holding cell. The end of this life, you will meet an eternity. Once you were born, once you were conceived, you became an eternal being. So I heard somebody say, when you're dead, you're not dead. Because when you die, you step out into eternity, and that eternity is either heaven or hell. Without Christ, it's hell, but with Christ, I want you to know that you'll enjoy the bliss and the blessings of heaven throughout all eternity. Because of this experience that took place in your life. And when I think about the church, which is His body, I think not only of a past experience, I think of a proven expression. And we find this, and I'm going to skip a few verses here, but in verse number 6, chapter 2, when it says, And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I love this. Every time we see a church gathered together, it's a body of believers, singing the old time songs of Zion and praising the Lord and shaking hands and fellowshipping one with another, we're looking at the proven expression that the church, which Jesus is the head, is still marching to Zion. It's a proven expression. That's why it's so important that you find yourself faithful to the house of God. Because you're proving to others that the church is still marching on. You're proving to your neighbors, you're proving to your family, but you're also proving one to another that we're a living organism, that we're marching forward. And it's not an organization, it's an organism, and we're living and breathing, and we have a purpose, and God has a plan for us, and God wants to use us to reach people with the gospel of Christ. And to me, the greatest times of my life, there's lots of things I enjoy. I enjoyed, as a boy, many activities, playing sports and being with friends at school. No doubt about it. I enjoy ball games to this day. Just about any kind of sporting event, I enjoy, you know. I can go watch a baseball game and enjoy that, and go to a football game and enjoy that, and go to a basketball game and enjoy that. I can even go watch golf and enjoy that, you know. And on Sunday afternoons, it's great to watch when you're sleepy and you can't go to sleep. It'll do it every time. You understand? There's lots of things I enjoy. But I don't enjoy anything better than coming together with God's people, singing the blessed old songs and loving one another and caring for one another. There's nothing better than that in all the world. And what's so amazing is the different walks of life, you see. People come from here and people come from there, and people have this idea and people have this idea, but then we come together and we don't always agree just on every little thing. But there's a common bond, and that common bond is Jesus Christ. It's the proven expression of that the church is still alive and well. It's God working in our lives. You know, I know things don't always go so smoothly, and I know that there's members that may have disagreements, and there's fussings and little, you know, schisms that seems to get in. The devil's going to see to that. See, the devil can't have your soul, so what he's going to try to do is just make you miserable. I've tried to determine, and sometimes I let the devil win, but I've tried to determine I'm just going to happy my way through life. I'm just going to enjoy the journey. Where is the joy that Jesus gives? Some of us haven't found it, or we've lost it, or something. Because I look around, and we're always trying to find the thing to complain about instead of the thing to praise the Lord about. And I've really tried to just say, Lord, I want to see what the good things that you're doing. And I want to put my life into that. And I want to just thank you for it. I'm glad there's groups of people that they don't want to fuss, and they just want things to go right. And, you know, they try to pray through things and all that. And I'm so happy about that. That's enjoying the fellowship of the Lord and sitting together and feasting at the table from heaven and enjoying the blessings that God pours down. And all of a sudden, before you know it, heaven comes down and glory begins to fill our soul. And you just get so excited to be there because you realize these are God's people and we're going to be spending eternity together. And God's given us a taste of heaven now. Raise us up to sit together in heavenly places. Somebody said, this is the quietest world we'll ever live in. And I declare unto you, I believe that's true. The quietest if you're going to heaven, and the quietest if you're going to hell. Quietest if you're going to heaven because of the praising of the Lord once we get there. The quietest if you're going to hell because of the terrible screams and the torments that they'll be experiencing there. What I say unto you is this: I'd rather have the blessings and the peace and the joy of heaven than the torments of hell. And you can have that. And you can know it today. You don't have to wait till you die. Salvation is not something you have to wait on till you die to know if you have it or not. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. That is a present possession. And I want you to know you can know it now. This record have I given unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Think about things people do to entertain themselves or to have enjoyment. And sinners go out and partake in sin and sinful activities, drunkenness and wickedness and lewdness, and they end up unhappy and broke and miserable. But I think about how I can come to church. And I can come to a place where I don't have to take a drink of the wickedness of this world, but I get that drink from heaven and their satisfaction. I think about how we sing the songs of Zion and how it moves my soul and does something in my life. I think about how I can shake hands and how I can go home on a Sunday night and a Wednesday night, and I can lay my head down on my pillow and I can remember the things that happened that day. And I can wake up the next morning without having the headache that comes from sin and heartache. And I begin to realize that this proven expression is worth everything you can put into it. You know, when you come to church, what you ought to do? You ought to put yourself into it. You know? You ought to start preparing yourself Saturday night. There's a lot of people that stay up and watch Saturday Night Live so they can be Sunday morning dead. I watch people in services as they fight and struggle to stay awake. Now, I know I'm boring, but hopefully I'm just not that boring, you know? Just don't snore. If you snore, it's a dead giveaway that you stayed up and watched Saturday Night Live. Or it's a dead giveaway that I sure am boring, and I'd rather it be the other, to be honest with you, you know. But I think about, I go home, and now I have a hard time going to sleep Sunday night. Because even if the day don't go the way that I think it should, I get so wired up and so pumped up that we're here and coming together and God's people have met together one more time and this proven expression that the church is still alive and well. And sometimes I look and I say, boy, I wish we'd grow a little bit more. I wish we need this and we need that. But just coming together, look, a lot of churches have closed the doors and shut up the shop and went home and just said, let's forget about the things of God. But God has brought us together one more time, and it's a proven expression that the church, His body, is still alive and well. And all across this city and all across this nation, there are places just like ours, some greater number, some less in number, but they're meeting with the same purpose, and it's a proven expression that the church that Jesus is building is still alive and well. And dear friends, it'll march right on until Jesus comes and marches us out of this world. May the Lord help us to see this. We prove it by this expression, by coming together. That's why I say you ought to be faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, as long as God's given you that ability to do that. And then I want you to see, finally, a precious expectation. A precious expectation. This is part of the church. This is something that God's given to us. And I've already stepped into it just a little bit here. But look at what the Bible says in verse number 7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, whatever the world may have to offer and whatever a person may accomplish, it's so short-lived and it's going to be left behind. But I want you to think about the Christian. He has a blessed life now, doesn't he? Think about it. I want you to understand this. Everything doesn't go the way I want it to every day of my life. But because I know I'm saved, every night when I lay my head on my pillow, I know that if I don't make it through that night, I'm going to wake up in heaven. How much better can it be than that? When I look and see all that's going on in the world, and sometimes I find myself fretting when I realize that I have to trust God and not trust the world. You know, so many people are worried about everything in the world, but the Bible says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. This is what I believe. I believe that the economy, it could possibly fall. I don't want it to fall, but I have to trust God and do what I can do and to be as right as I can be. A lot of people are talking about the global climate, and I'm concerned. I don't want us to be foolish with things, but I'm more concerned about the moral climate of our society. You understand what I'm saying? Look, I don't want us to be foolish, and I don't want us to say silly things and just say we don't care about all this stuff. And we do care about a lot of things. But I'm in the hands of God. I'm His. And He has given me a precious expectation. I have the privilege of having the blessings of God on my life now. And to be honest with you, this place is just a barren place compared to what I have waiting on me when I get over yonder. Amen? I love that song. Just over yonder, beyond the river, there is a city of pure delight. And many loved ones anticipate. Look, I'm looking forward to the time when I get over there. But until I get over there, I want you to know I'm just going to enjoy the expectations of it now. I want to prepare myself for a brighter day that's ahead. And dear friends, because you're saved and on your way to heaven, you can have a part of this expectation. We go into Tennessee every twice a year, three times if you count a Bible conference. We'll go summertime to see family, and then around Christmas, then we'll go to a Bible conference. But every time we go in, my mom says, I'm going to cook a meal. And when she cooks a meal, it's not just a little meal, you know? And the whole hill gets invited up. And usually there'll be about 30, 35 people there. It's just my family. And she cooks enough for about 70 or 75 people, you know? But she'll say all these things. She said, well, I'm going to cook the meal. And what night's good for you, you know? And I'll say, well, it doesn't matter to me. And she'll say, what about this? And I'll say, well, it doesn't matter to me. And she said, well, let me get with everybody and be sure everybody can come on such and such night, you know? And it's like the next time I talk to her, I'll say, well, did you ever figure out what night you're going to cook that meal? He said, where are you going with this? Hang on. And she'll say, well, what about Thursday? I said, Mom, that sounds great, Thursday. What I'm really wanting to say is, woohoo, Thursday! You know? Because it's an expectation. I'm excited. You say, well, I'm excited because not only the meal, I'm excited because my whole family's going to be there. My mom and my dad. My brother, my sister. My nieces, nephews. You know, sometimes cousins and aunts and uncles. And as far as I know, everybody in my family, there's a couple I worry about. Everybody in my family's made professions of faith. One of these days, I'm going to a supper. When I get to that supper, my whole family is going to be there. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Being a part of the body of Christ has given me this promise. It's going to get better. And I'll never have to have those tearful goodbyes when we're leaving on Saturday morning. You hug your neck and you think, so sure it's hard. Because we'll be all together in heaven. That's a precious expectation. But you don't have that if you don't have Christ. But if you have Christ, you're a part of the body. And you have a responsibility to fulfill your obligation. Look at this body that you have. Look at it. Hold your hand up. Everybody, just hold your hand up in front of your face. I want you to look at, there's five fingers on most people's hands. And every one of them has a responsibility to help accomplish something. And if you were to take any one of them away, that hand would be weaker. It wouldn't be as effective. And that's what happens when you're not doing your part. You're not carrying your load in the church. We're not as effective. And when we're not as effective, you know what happens? We forget the expectations. We lose sight of the blessings that God has for us now. and that God has for us then. Because somebody else has to try to pick up that part, and we get burdened under the load. The Bible says in chapter 1, to the church, which is His body, the Bible says that you're a part of the body. And we could go in Corinthians and we could read how every part of the body is important. And you may be what you consider the little toe, somebody, a part of the body that's never seen, that nobody ever recognizes. But if you don't do your part, I want you to know you're truly missed. And you're truly needed. Do you understand this? The church, which is His body, that every one of us that are saved has a responsibility. But you're not part of the body if you're not saved. You need to know Christ as your Savior. And when you do, then you'll have a past experience. You can be a part of the proven expressions. And then those expectations will become yours. I'm looking forward to heaven. And by the way, the longer I live in this world, the more I'm looking forward to heaven. The longer I see things that are happening, I look that much forward to heaven. But I'm just going to trust God, and I'm doing my best to enjoy the journey and find that peace that passes all understanding that only Jesus gives. God has joy, peace. God has great things for us. But I'm so burdened that so many Christians are missing out on what God has for their lives. Be the part of the body you ought to be. And when you do, when you become that part, when you do your part, fulfill your purpose, then you're a blessing to others and you're building rewards for yourself. And when you build rewards for yourself, you know what happens? Those precious expectations get more and more precious. Because when we stand before the Lord, we can stand unashamed. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for what You've done and how You've spoken to us. And I ask You to be with us now as we come to this time. Help me, Lord, to guide in this invitation the way You would have me to. I pray for those that are here today without Christ as Savior. Lord, they're not part of this body. Lord, would You help them to see, to understand? Lord, that if they want eternity in heaven, they have to trust You as Savior. Lord, if they're here today and they're considering walking out without Thee, Lord, I pray that You'll burden their heart especially. And help them to understand that today they can know beyond any shadow of a doubt heaven can be theirs. And for those of us that have made that commitment and trusted Christ by faith, I pray that You'll help us to enjoy the journey. Lord, help us to realize that while there's greater days ahead and there'll be a day that we're with Thee, but that, Lord, we can enjoy Your presence now and enjoy the presence of one another. Lord, may we be the kind of people, instead of trying to find all the wrong, Lord, of enjoying what's right and then praying about the things that are wrong, and doing what we can. Lord, just help us to be faithful Christians, faithful to You, faithful to this world. Help us, Lord, to reach people with the gospel. Now, Lord, please have Your way in this invitation. We give this time unto Thee. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Would you look this way? The piano begins to play. I want you to look at me.